Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Round Table.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roundtable. Coming to you from Beijing, I'm He Young. Good to have you join us. Feeling anxious about AI's rapid progress? Need to get a grip on AI? There are online classes for that. Discover why it seems that everyone's flocking to AI training like it's the hottest ticket in town. And we share with you what's brought us joy this week, what's made us happy in Roundtable's happy place. For today's program, I'm joined by Gao Junya in the studio and Josh Cotterell on the line, first on a day's Roundtable. If it hasn't already, generative AI is going to change the way a whole lot of us are going to do our jobs, if the obvious caveat here has to be, we still have jobs. The International Monetary Fund says in advanced economies, 60% of jobs are going to be affected by AI, and about half of these jobs may see lower wages or complete automation because of it. So, how in the world are you supposed to be prepared for a technological revolution that's been compared to the invention of the internet or going way back, the printing press? One word, people. Study. A quick search on China's e-commerce marketplace Taobao shows nearly 1,000 AI-related courses, including live webinars, video recordings, one-on-one training, and so on. And whilst in the U.S., according to leading online study platform Coursera, in 2023, someone enrolled in generative AI content every minute. So Junya, let's go to you first. How intense is the AI training craze?
Well, with the rapid development of the AI field, AI training has become increasingly popular, with various training courses emerging one after another. An investigation by the Workers Daily found that the main content of these AI training courses often focuses on the operational methods of certain model tools, but most claim to help students achieve monetization of AI skills. Low-cost entry and selling high-priced products, memberships, and materials have become their usual tactics. During the periods such as the release of ChatGPT, Sora, and other hot topics, the popularity of AI training courses quickly surges, with a large number of related courses emerging. Some courses even start recruiting students before the model is officially released. Previously, the Douyin influencer Li Yizhou made headlines by earning up to 50 million yuan or $6.9 million through selling AI courses, leading many to question whether similar courses are merely money traps. Currently, AI courses similar to Li Yizhou's can be found everywhere on social media platforms such as Douyin, Zhihu, and Bilibili. And many of Li Zhou's courses have been complained about for false advertising, leading to their courses and account suspension and refunds. However, many consumers have also found it difficult to obtain refunds.
Yeah, Josh, what have you found on this AI training craze? Because I've looked all over the world and it seems that our friends in America are also suffering from some kind of anxiety due to this rapid development of AI. So what do you know about this?
Yeah, well, it's quite difficult to get stats on anxiety levels, right? But what we can get statistics on are things like you say, and what's been discussed, amounts of people that are enrolling in AI courses, which is probably quite telling of maybe an anxiety to quickly gain knowledge about something that we all assume is going to deeply affect all of our lives, especially with work, right? You're quite right. In the US, the number of people, students, and also working professionals pursuing degrees in AI or courses, according to the US Department of Education, actually AI and machine learning degrees have doubled in the last 5 years, which is not surprising at all. Also, Silicon Valley, whenever we talk about AI, in the US, we often think of Silicon Valley, and this tech hub has definitely contributed to this demand for training courses. A lot of companies there are actually providing courses. Of course, one of the most obvious ones is Google. And you know that Google actually, as well as owned by Alphabet, as well as providing all of their other services, they actually provide courses in training, including courses in AI, statistics, coding, etc. So both traditional universities in the US, and also private companies providing a multitude of different AI training courses. It's a similar situation in my own country as well. Actually, the UK government has invested quite heavily in the last 5 years in AI education and training initiatives, which again, fuels the growth, or as you say, maybe the anxiety. It's quite difficult to know which word to use here.
Yes, maybe two sides of the same coin. And also we see that, just to throw out more numbers here, this is according to Udemy, another American online training marketplace. It says that it's had over 3 million enrollments in AI courses that just in the last couple of years. And it had a ChatGPT class up and running within 11 days of ChatGPT's public debut. And this is just looking at the timing. You can understand why it came out so swiftly. But also, it begs the question, do you actually know what you're teaching? Oh, yeah. And also, there's one example that Junya gave earlier on that some of these courses come out even before the actual AI tool has been debuted. And then again, it makes people question the validity and quality of some of these courses, which we will get into in a second. And what's that quote from June? Fear is the mind killer. But for the red-hot AI training industry, fear is apparently the cash cow. Tell us, what's fueling this AI training craze?
You're right, He Yang. Fear is definitely one of the reasons that's driven such craze. When faced with new technologies, it's easy for us to feel a fear of missing out, FOMO. When everyone is discussing a new top technology, it seems like if you don't keep up, you'll appear outdated, which leads to anxiety. And in the rapid development of science and technology, this sentiment is very apparent. In July 2023, the research report on the potential impact of AI large models on China's labor market, jointly released by Zhaoping, a recruitment platform and the National School of Development at Peking University, showed that 69% of respondents had tried using large language model AI tools such as ChatGPT and Baidu's Wenxin Yiyan. Faced with the popularization of AI tools and the impact they bring, 66% of respondents stated that they would participate in training courses to acquire AI tool usage skills.
Well, I think another reason is that universities and higher educational institutions are really expanding their AI curriculum. And I think that that has a real effect on everybody. And we're also seeing it in primaries and high schools as well, actually, some AI training. And I think that this is having a deep effect on society as a whole. I think that, these universities, at first we might call these kind of courses specialized, but now it's becoming almost like a staple skill, something that you need in the same way that maybe you might need to be able to use, say, Microsoft Office or something like that, right? You need to be proficient is the word, right? You should probably be proficient in, say, Microsoft Word, Microsoft PowerPoint, maybe Microsoft Excel, depending on your job. And it seems as though AI, although I think that AI is something quite different because it's quite a broad term that encompasses some very technical things that are specialized and do require you to, say, have a background in computer engineering or something like that. But at the same time, actually utilizing it and using it for your everyday job is maybe more of a general skill. And I think that there is a fear. I do think that there is a fear for people driving this. And I think, as I mentioned, that comes from a greater investment into this course with universities and smaller schools as well. I also think that there's industry investment, not just in the education. I think that the private sector and public sector are investing heavily in this, and everything from governments to not just tech giants, but also startups and even media, entertainment, every industry that, even the industries that we thought maybe were slightly untouchable. I mean, I myself have worked as a musician for some time as well. And I know that AI is also deeply affecting that industry as well now.
Yeah, Josh, can I also just check with you how you feel about, in the last couple of days, I think there's a new web-based AI tool that has emerged that could potentially subvert the music industry called Suno, the text-to-music AI generator. And it says that you don't need to know any instruments or have any music knowledge, but you can whip up full songs in a matter of seconds from a simple text prompt, and you can use your imagination to make music. That's pretty much it. And yeah. I wonder how you feel about that.
Well, I mean, it's quite easy to feel disheartened and almost angry, I guess, to some degree about this kind of thing. Angry because it seems as though a lot of work that you maybe have put into mastering a skill, whether that be music or anything else, has suddenly been disregarded by greater society as something that's not worth anything anymore. But I think the reality is that every one of us has to reckon with this reality to some degree and accept that this is the reality now. And, you know, maybe work out how to have a better relationship with it. For example, yes, you can create, anybody can now create music for anything without knowing anything about music. And this is affecting musicians and music composers and producers because suddenly we're out of work because people who say have a film or a short video that they would previously ask a musician to compose for now don't need to pay that money anymore, right? And so, but is the music they're creating actually any good? Mm-hmm. Actually, it's shown that most of it is trash. And taste is something that's very difficult to teach, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just at a bit of a weird crossroads right now, and it's very scary. But like music, like anything else, musicians, like anybody else, just need a bit of time to work out how to actually, you know, use it properly and create good music from this. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but in my brain, it's how I've reckoned with this.
It makes a lot of sense to me, Josh. And also, well, I don't really have that kind of a very special, specific skill like you do, musician Josh. You know, that's what he does when he's not on the show. And, you know, he's a very talented guy, Josh Cotterell. And for me, when I first felt the impact of AI, to be more specific, ChatGPT, was when I realized that you just can't beat the machine. It comes up with, you know, so much content in a matter of seconds, and it can give you like 10 different variations. And I've studied English and all this stuff for my whole life, but there's just no chance that you stand to compete with it. And it was a very frustrating moment. And yes, and I think we're all sort of going through that Baptist on fire or something like that as we come in close contact with AI tools' impact on our work and the future of our work. And it's almost like, you know, when ChatGPT first came out, which was in November 2022. And then at the time, myself and some coworkers and also friends in the graphic design industry, as well as, okay, copy editors as such. And then we kind of flirted with the idea of, okay, we could incorporate this into our work routine, despite feeling totally terrified. And now, in the midst of all that, you know, there was Sora, there's now Suno, and all these different AI tools just come about so very often. And then now, I don't know if you guys feel the same, but it kind of feels like we need to be in a more committed relationship in figuring out how to use these AI tools and hopefully not be intimidated by it.
Yes, actually, I think personally, I would spend money, you know, subscribing certain AI apps or accounts instead of attending AI training classes.
Huh, interesting. Do you feel like you can master the skill of utilizing the tool without the need of a course?
Because so far, I think I've been only dealing with ChatGPT so far, and I think I'm using it quite good. Because personally, for me, ChatGPT, I think it's more like an assistant. Usually, I ask ChatGPT to help me to polish a script or some paragraphs, and they came out in good logic and some, let's say, more genuine words, which native speakers will use. But I think it's still based on my script and my story structure, and even my whole piece. Because I think I remember this one time I was writing a Quora article and it's answering a question about China, Zambia, I think cultural exchange, things like that. Because in my article, I've shared my own personal experiences, like how the establishment of the Shaolin Temple and how more students are learning Chinese languages. And someone replied me and with a script, I think it is from ChatGPT. I think someone just put that question to ChatGPT and got that whole article. Just some facts, China and Zambia, they established diplomatic ties in what year, you know, things like that. Just not touching me. For me, I think ChatGPT is a tool so far. It can't replace me because I'm still the one who's providing the content. And sometimes I think ChatGPT, it is still progressing. It is still learning, right? It's not getting us, sometimes not getting us what we need and what we want. It's been using those adjectives too much, you know, overuse of adjectives.
Very repetitive.
Yes. You have to have another requirement for it to change his answers or something for us. So I think it's a process. And I think for me, I'm quite confident, you know, it's just an assistant tool so far.
Right. I think for anybody who's an expert in your respective field, you might feel that, okay, this AI tool is just a tool. It's not up to my expertise level. Because when you're using the tool, you're still, Josh mentioned taste. And I would say maybe proficiency and also your breadth and width and depth of the knowledge is something that in your respective field, that AI tool might not be able to compete with. And you're picking and choosing what's best to my use. But if it's a different domain or a different field. For example, I appreciate music, but I know nothing about making music. And then if I'm able to use the text to music AI tool, then that's like suddenly I have wings to soar in a completely different domain. And I think that's like really exciting and interesting for people. So there are many facets to this great technological invention, and I think we'll keep on talking about this because we're still at a relatively early stage of it, and there's definitely the excitement and a bit of an anxiety, I think, that comes with it that's driving the AI courses online. And funny, it's all online. We don't really see like real life classes, maybe for the degrees for students in college and university. Sure, that's happening. But for the vast majority of workers out there, upskilling is an important part of our work life now, or the longevity of our work these days. And also it's the enemy you don't know that is the scariest, right? And maybe that's why a lot of people are going down this path of at least sign up to an AI course, which is maybe only like 10 hours max. And you can do this over a time span of your choice on demand, pretty much. And it's only, well, you know, whether it's expensive or affordable, it's all relative. But for a few hundred yuan, and sometimes, okay, the really expensive one is 20,000 yuan of an AI course that you can get on the Chinese platforms. And yeah, I wonder if it will impart the knowledge of expertise that warrants such a high tag price. But yeah, I think the more you know about it, at least it quiets some of the fear and worry of the unknown. But your conclusion, I think, is something that is subjective to everyone because it depends on your situation. You might find the more I know about this, the more I realize that maybe my work is in jeopardy and therefore maybe it's a little bit more worrying. But for others, maybe the more you know about it and you realize, huh, actually, I have my strong suit. Oh, rather like what Junya just mentioned, that you feel more confident about what you're doing. And yes, and a lot of these courses have also been sort of preying on our insecurities and the anxiety, and they're very effective with their online marketing schemes, and therefore people just feel, maybe I'll sign up for this, I'll pay for this, and then that could ease my worry a little bit. And then I don't know whether it's like you're falling for it or you're actively agreeing to go along with it. And I'm curious, are the existing courses any good? Are they actually helpful?
I think it depends because, like I said, you know, I'm not that kind of person who would try this training courses, but I think it did help to certain industries. Because AI is learning by itself, it's improving, and we ourselves have to improve ourselves. And with the help of AI, I think to some extent, maybe we can, I don't know, get ourselves out of this daily routine and maybe to do something more meaningful and something we personally like. And so maybe, I don't know, our work hours or the work days can be reduced to 3 days or 4 days. I don't know. Maybe it's a dream, but I think that's the positive change that AI could bring to us.
Mm-hmm. And with all that extra free time, what are you going to do? Play some AI games?
And join some university society activities.
Yeah, I got to listen for the whole show to get that cue. Yes, and Josh, what about you? Do you think these courses are any good after a bit of investigation?
Yeah, of course. I think that a lot of them provide really useful knowledge and insight. And I do think it depends on the industry that you work in, though, of course. Working in high-tech industries, anything to do with technological innovation, software development, IT services, you've got to be familiar with AI, I think, in order to feel empowered and feel like you're going to be competent enough to actually deal with a lot of the issues at hand. I think also in industries such as healthcare as well, I mean, there's a lot of practical skills, and I think that healthcare and medicine is definitely interdisciplinary, I would argue. And there's a lot of practical elements to it that AI cannot help you with. But as we've discussed before, AI is transforming healthcare in the most incredible way, right? With things like medical analysis, personalized medicine, the discovery of new drugs, the discovery of new diseases and patient care optimization, all of these things. And so I think that definitely in this industry as well, AI, you need to be familiar with, and it's going to be useful to you. But there are definitely industries where, I mean, I would say that it's probably a good idea to become familiar with how AI works in any industry, but there are definitely industries where it's not as important. I mean, if we're going to stay on the topic of the creative industry, I think that AI can certainly assist with certain tasks, but this is the area where AI is struggling. It is struggling to be creative. And that the reason for that is because to be very creative, you have to be able to empathize with your audience and different people. AI seems right now, I'll say that as a footnote, unable to do this properly. And so in the field of journalism, the arts and stuff like this, it's definitely struggling still. Mm. So maybe other skills are more useful.
Do you think that maybe AI is very good, sorry to say, even in the creative industry, do the mediocre level of work? For example, like produce a song in Chester Bennington's style. And, well, I've actually checked out one of these songs that's, you know, probably born by the exact same prompt. And it was shocking. It was haunting initially when I listened to it because dear Chester Bennington has passed away in 2017. So it was like hearing his voice all over with like new, quote unquote, new content. That was like really shocking for, you know, a hardcore fan. But then when I listened closely to it, I think it was just, if Chester were to perform it, then it was maybe on one of his sick days. Certainly not the best performance or of the brainchild of Mike Shinoda or anything like that. So I think there's a lot to talk about. And also, this is definitely one thing that human artists can still hold on to. That is, you're still definitely better, but it's just also for how long, you know, when we think about these issues, because AI's learning and being trained when we're having dinner, when we're sleeping, and it's just constantly learning. And that's just kind of horrifying when you think about it, just how fast it can make progress.